Good morning. If you'd like to open up to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, and it will not be on the screen this morning, so if you've got a Bible with you, if there's one in one of the seats in front of you, you might grab that. We'll be in John 13 for a good bit of the time. A few things to remind us of as we get started. First of all, maybe most importantly, there is a homemade ice cream supper tonight. So start freezing your ice cream quickly this afternoon and try to get it here. Or if you'd like to bring some store-bought stuff, I'm sure we will eat that too, and it will all be good. The lesson will not be on gluttony, so it's all good and safe tonight. Also, coming up this Saturday is the Men of Iron event at Corvallis. If you'd like to come be a part of that, there's a sign-up sheet in the back and more information about times and all of that stuff. If you don't want to go to the game, that's fine. I'm sure most of the crowd probably won't. So whatever you would like to do that day, we'd love to have you be a part of it. And also, there are sign-up sheets up on the bulletin board in the back for our life groups that will be getting started here in a few weeks. So if you would like to find one that's either geographically in your part of town or with a family you like or cast lots or however you're going to make that decision, you can do that and sign up for those. And we would love for you to be a part of all of that. And let's go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room. I had my TV on last night. If you are visiting with us, we're glad you're here. I've been here in Eugene for a little over a year now. I grew up in Alabama, and I am an Alabama fan. But I have taken on the Ducks as my secondary or third team. We also like Nebraska in our house because my wife is a Nebraskan. But I enjoy watching the Ducks. I don't live and die with it the way a lot of you guys might. But in that last couple minutes of the game yesterday, I watched the incomplete pass with a guy that was wide open that would have won the game. And I felt devastated because I thought, I'm going to be talking to people in need of hope tomorrow. I'm going to be talking to not smiling faces. We'll be talking to people that are not excited about life, and here we go. So hopefully today will be a message of hope for all of us that we could have any time, but I know it's a tough loss yesterday, and I feel for you because I've had those too. But we'll be here in John chapter 13 this morning. Beginning in verse 18 of John chapter 13, Jesus is sitting around the table with his disciples, nearing the end of his time here on earth, and things are about to get very unpleasant and uncomfortable, and Jesus is going to open their eyes to something that they're probably not quite ready for. And he says in verse 18, I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I'm telling you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me. Whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. And after this, after he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. And if you can imagine being seated there at the table with Jesus and the number of things that might be going through your head at that moment. You've spent 3 years following this man around. You've spent 3 years with this brotherhood, this group of people, this band of brothers, the way we might say it today. And you have traveled with them. You have slept in the same homes with these people. You have shared meals. You have talked about the deepest things of life with them. And now Jesus says that one of these people is going to betray him. And you might think of any number of things. You might think, no, this is not possible. We are too close. Among us, there couldn't be anybody that would do this kind of thing. It just doesn't make sense. You might think as you look around, oh, I know who it is. Oh, I could tell. I could tell that I can't quite trust that one over there. That's the one I would never really share a secret with that I didn't want to get out. It's the one that I just knew there was something not quite right about that guy. You might think to yourself, I hope he doesn't think it's me. Surely he wouldn't think it's me. You might even think to yourself, could it be me? I know I've had moments of weakness. I've had moments that I didn't quite understand where this whole plan was going. I've had moments that I wasn't quite sure what it is we were doing. I thought we were going to do some kind of earthly kingdom. I thought we were going to overthrow the Romans. I thought this was going to be very different than it was. And yet, we go out and he does things that I can't completely explain. And I don't understand why he does it the way he does. Could it be me? You might have all these different thoughts going through your mind. It says that his disciples, they stared at one another. And they're at a loss. They're at a loss to know which one of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him what he means." And this might be the first time in all of the Gospels that we have Peter even afraid to speak up. Because Peter's usually the one that jumps. Peter's the one who, when he sees Jesus walking on the water, he says, let me walk out there with you if it's you. Peter is the one who says, just earlier in the chapter that we looked at not terribly long ago, you're not going to wash my feet. And then when Jesus says, well, I need to wash feet, well, wash all of me. Peter's the first one to speak, and even here he says, ask him what he means. So leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, and you can just see the drama. If we were watching this in a movie, this is where the mysterious music begins to play. And all of this drama begins to unfold before them. And as he dips the bread and everyone wonders which way is he going to reach with this, he dips the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. What you are about to do, do quickly, Jesus told him, but no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. And life for Judas has changed. Now, this is a path that Judas had probably already begun to start down, and he was not on the team as much as they thought he was on the team anymore. But at this moment, as he is outed and everyone knows who he is, everything has gotten much darker, much more quickly for Judas. And if you can imagine the looking over his shoulder that he will be doing for the next little while, wondering who's watching, who might be following, what's going on, and things change for him. But it doesn't stop here, because in verse 31, it says, when he was gone, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me just as I told the Jews, and I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And he shifts from betrayal into this command to give each of us, which is people are going to know that we are his because of love. What Judas is going to do is not out of love, it's out of greed, it's out of maybe frustration for not having Jesus do what he thinks Jesus ought to be doing, for not having the earthly kingdom that he might want to have, for whatever it might be. And Jesus says, no, instead of this, instead of these things that are driving Judas, what you need to have is love. And Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. And Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. I'm as loyal as they come, and we've just seen betrayal is coming, and I'm not that guy. I'm someone who's going to follow you wherever you go. So I need to know where you're going so I can get there and I can lay down my life for you. And then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. So now among the 12, you have two that are problems. Among the 12, you have one who's going to betray, you have one who is going to deny. And you have this dissension that begins to build in the ranks. And I wonder what we do when we find ourselves at times like this. because this is not all that unusual a story. There are times where among our family, we find people that are not on board. We find people that don't want to be part of the team. We find people that want to cause dissension, that want to cause trouble. We find people that we might describe as betrayers. We find people we might describe as deniers, or maybe in any other number of ways. And the disciples are in a little bit of turmoil now. And you have Judas, who knows what he's going to do, and Satan is playing a role in this. And on the other hand, you have Peter, who is probably a little defiant about this, because he thinks that he's going to follow to the point of laying down his life, and he's just been told, no, you're going to deny me. You're not even going to want to be a part of me. You're not going to admit you're with me. You are going to deny. And I wonder sometimes, if we knew what our futures held, how would we react? If we knew that the way God was going to allow our lives to be steered would lead in one way or another, would we try to do things to change that? Or if we found ourselves fulfilling those things, then what will we do from that point? How would we continue to write our stories? And what we find is very true in what happens. If you flip over for just a minute to John chapter 18. He has said that Judas is going to deny him. And we find in John chapter 18 that they come out and Judas has showed them where Jesus is. And Jesus is arrested, and we find in other Gospels that he is shown that the sign for this is going to be a kiss, and that the one that I kiss is going to be him, as if he's in hiding somewhere, but there's all this symbolism that goes in, and Judas comes in and gives Jesus the kiss, and he is betrayed, and Judas has fulfilled what he said he was, or what Jesus said he was going to do. And then as you go further along into John chapter 18, into verse 15, says Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus, and I imagine with a little bit of distance between them to try to hide their identity, to try to not be caught up in the midst of all this. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard, but then Peter had to wait outside the door. The other disciple who was known to the high priest came back and spoke to the girl on duty and brought Peter in. Verse 17, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" the girl at the door asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." And I wonder, as Peter denies knowing Jesus for the first time, if there's anything yet in his mind, if there's that turmoil. And I wonder for us, if we're caught in a moment like this where admitting who we are when it comes to Christianity, admitting that we are followers of Christ, what we do. Because today, although it might be uncomfortable in some circles, your life will go on. If you leave here today and you put on a, if we had shirts at the door, we had shirts at the door that say on the front, "I am a Christian," and on the back that say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And we sent you all down to Valley River Center to walk around for a while. Or if we sent you out next weekend to Saturday Market to walk around for a while. I imagine you get some funny looks. You might get some other people that acknowledge you. Every time I wear an Alabama shirt in this town, somebody says to me, "Roll Tide." Makes me laugh. But it's like this kinship we have. At the same time, what if your life depended on it? What if you were at a spot where acknowledging Christ could put you at risk? How does that change things in your mind? And we can rationalize our way around and say that, you know, I could do a whole lot more good if I'm still here to live and share the gospel or whatever. But Peter's scared. And I understand his fear. He has just seen his leader, the guy he's followed around for the last 3 years, that he has confessed to be the Son of the living God. And on that confession, the church is built. He's just seen that guy taken into custody after being betrayed by one of them. And he is scared about what's going to happen next. So when they say, "Are you one of his followers?" he says, "No, I'm not one of his followers." It was cold. And the servants and officials stood around a fire they made to keep warm. Peter was also standing with them, warming himself. Down in verse 25, it says, Simon Peter stood warming himself and was asked, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off. If you want to think there's someone out there who is aware of who Peter is, it's this guy. He challenged him. "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. And if you've ever seen this unfold in a movie about the life of Christ, oftentimes this will be the point where Peter and Jesus' eyes meet, and he knows exactly what he has done, and he leaves in tears. And for a lot of us, that would be the moment where we give up. And I don't know what your give up moment is. And I think a lot of us have probably had them somewhere along the way. And I like to think we've overcome them or we wouldn't be here this morning. So this is the life of Peter and where it's at right now. If you look at Judas, if you want to flip over to Matthew 27 for a second. At the beginning of the chapter, it says, "Early in the morning, all the chief priests and elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, handed him over to Pilate the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse. He was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. 'I have sinned,' he said, 'for I have betrayed innocent blood.'" He knows what he has done, he has regret, and he takes a step to try to undo it in the only way that he knows how. He's been paid for this, and he no longer wants the money. And he takes the money and he throws it at their feet. "What is this to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility. It's not our problem, that's your problem." So he throws the money into the temple and he leaves. And we have at this moment Peter and Judas, different places in time, different moments in their lives, both realizing that they have to the one who loved them and led them and taught them and traveled around with them and is going to give his life for them, the one that they have been with for 3 years, they have both wronged him horribly. And now they have to decide what to do. And again, I think we find ourselves in what seems like all too familiar a place. Now, we have not, with Jesus just feet away from us, denied him in this way. We have not taken money so that his life can be taken. But at the same time, we have been given all too many situations where we could make the right decision, the right choice to show God in our lives, to show what Jesus has done, and too often we give in to sin. Too often we give in to the forces around us. Too often we give in to Satan and the temptations that he brings to our way. Too often we make the wrong choice. And sometimes we do it again and again and again. Because it's one thing when you slip up that one time and you want to make it right. But sometimes we fall into that same sin over and over again and we just find ourselves feeling pretty worthless. Pretty unworthy, pretty much like one who has denied or betrayed. We find ourselves just having heard the rooster crow or making the eye contact or having thrown the money back into the temple and running out, and now we have a decision to make. What do we do now? What do we do now? And in our world, we are surrounded by people making this same decision. What do I do now? We talked about the ducks already. There's a group of people somewhere this morning reliving the last couple minutes of that game. Hopefully it's not you while I'm talking. It's a group of football players that have practiced and practiced and practiced, a group of coaches that thought they had a game plan that was going to work, and they are reliving moments of that thing, and they have to decide when they go back out on the practice field, what do we do now? We give up? We lost a game. You know how many other teams are out there that wish that losing one game was relevant? Because they know they're going to lose the next one, and the one after that, the one after that, the one after that. They would love to be in the spot Oregon's in right now, where they're still in the conversation. You know how many other people feel hopeless in our world that do not have the hope in front of them that we have? Oh, they've got it. They just don't know about it. They don't understand it. We've not told them about it, whatever it might be. We have a hope that says, if you are at the very bottom of where you can be, if you are at the spot that Judas is in, you're at the spot that Peter is in at this moment, you can still come back. And we need to be reminded of that daily. Because for Peter and for Judas, this is that moment of the story where everything can change in any direction. And unfortunately, as we finish reading that verse, for Judas, what we find is, and Judas went out and hanged himself. Now, there are those that will look at what Judas did and they will say, good. He deserved it. He brought this on himself. There are not a lot of folks naming their kids Judas nowadays, are there? Maybe some Beatles fans. But aside from that, not a lot of people naming their kids Judas nowadays, because he is the betrayer. And he ends his life in this way. And I imagine even among the apostles, as they hear about this, there are probably those that feel for him and hate how this turned out, and others who think we're rid of him. Have you ever thought about Judas in this moment? What if he had taken a different route? What if he, in tears, had gone back to the other 11 and said, I don't understand what happened. I don't know where I turned wrong. I don't know where things started to go in that direction. It is the worst failure of my life. And if you can just find a way to forgive me, I will tell this story for the rest of time. You imagine how different a story this is at that point? Because honestly, that sounds an awful lot like the story that Peter is going to live out and the story that later on in the book of Acts, Paul is going to live out. Guys that knew they had so royally messed up that it seemed like there was no hope, and yet they understood there is still hope. And when we look around at our world today, there are an awful lot of people that feel what Judas is feeling in this moment. And there are an awful lot of people that don't know how to dig out of that hole. And for us, we are here to provide hope. For Peter, we find a very different ending to the story. And if you look in John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, we find a section towards the end of the chapter, beginning in verse 15, that if you have a version with subtitles, you'll see something along the lines of Jesus reinstates Peter. It says, when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? And for Peter, who has probably relived so many times when he has looked in a mirror, or any time he has heard a rooster as he walked by, or any time he catches the eyes of Jesus, has relived so many times, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said I don't know you. How am I ever going to make this right? And Jesus says, do you love me more than these? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, how do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And then a third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because he asked him the third time. And sometimes I want to scream through my Bible, why are you hurt? You've proven yourself already. You've shown what you can do when you go down the wrong path. And he's just trying to give you the chance to make this right. He said, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. And what we find out is in that exchange that Peter and Jesus have in John 13, they were both right. Now, Peter wasn't right about the fact that he wouldn't deny him, but Peter was right about the fact that he's going to follow him to his death. And that the denying that Jesus talks about, just part of the journey that takes him there. And it's time for us to wake up and realize that the failures that we have are just part of the journey that takes us there. They are not intended for us to think there's no hope. They are not intended for us to think that there is no way to make these things right. They are a moment for us to decide, just like Judas had, just like Peter had, just like Paul is going to have. They are a moment for us to decide, will I give up or will I carry on? And for us, this is much more than what Judas did, much more in a sense of our relationships with God. Because we don't have to look around very long to realize that there are a lot of people who give up on that. There are a lot of people out there that just say, I've gone too far away, it's too hard, there's too many obnoxious people at that church. People have wronged me, people don't care about me. I was there, I saw people who would betray, I saw people who would deny, I saw people who were hypocritical, and I give up on all that. And Jesus would say into all of that, do you love me? And he would say to us again, do you love me? And again, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. This morning, we are a people with hope. And unfortunately, too often, we don't look like people with hope, do we? We're kind of stoic. We're kind of sleepy. Look kind of like we're still replaying that last 2 minutes in our heads. We are a people with hope. And it is time for us to show our world that hope. This morning, if you came in and you felt kind of hopeless, I hope that's starting to change in your mind a little bit. I hope you can see yourself, like the folks in our story this morning, with options in front of you, with a chance to rededicate yourself to the life that God wants you to lead, with a chance to look at your past and then stop looking at it, with a chance to realize that each of us has a long list of things that we wish we might have done a different way, chosen a different thing, and we cannot undo those things, but what we can change is from this moment on. And like Peter and Paul, who end up writing most of the rest of this book, let's change what's going to happen from here on out. So if you have not taken on Christ, this is your chance to do that. Or if you look into your life and you think, I'm so far away, there is not a too far away. All the way back in Isaiah, at the beginning of chapter 59, Isaiah writes, surely the hand of the Lord is not too short to save, surely his ear is not too dull to hear. You cannot go too far away. Your voice cannot be too quiet for God to hear you. God is waiting to reconcile that relationship with you, and he would like for it to start today. He wants your story to end like Peter's and like Paul's, being back and following him and living in eternity with him, instead of like Judas's who gave up. Don't give up on God. He has not given up on you. If there is something you need this morning, whether it is to have a relationship with him or just something that we can pray about in your life, please come as we stand and sing.